All right, open your Bible, if you will, please, the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. I said last night I thought I was through there, and I did think I was through there, but I've got another word I've got to deal with, so I want you to really pray God will bless and have His way, and the Lord's will to be done. That is mine up there, Brother Joel. I want you to really pray God will speak to us tonight. Appreciate the preaching, Brother Sutton. That got me wanting to preach on the second coming. I'm looking forward to leaving out here like Superman and coming back like the Lone Ranger. Yep. Amen. I remember years ago, I had the wonderful privilege several times of hearing Dr. John Phillips preach in person. Dr. Phillips just went on to be the Lord a couple of weeks ago, wrote all those great commentaries. And heard him preach on the line that you preached on tonight, preacher. And God dealing with Israel in the time of the chapter 19 Revelation, in the Revelation when He comes back. He said He's going to destroy him with a sword that goes out of his mouth. He kind of paused a minute in his way, if you knew him, just a little smile on his face. And he said something like this, that won't be any problem. Amen. He said, all God's got to do is say two words. He'll say, drop dead. And they'll drop dead. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. I can't help you. This is for believers only. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, if you would, please. Our Bible open, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And I'm going to read verse number 4, 5, and 6 tonight, and then bring another message. And let me say this just before I get in the Scripture and preach. I have done very little preaching, as is commonly considered preaching, on missions this week. But I've done my best to be obedient to God. I am convinced the greatest need of this hour is for us to get to Calvary. And if we can get back to the cross, it will so warm our hearts with the love of God. We can come to the place that Jesus said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. We don't need to serve God in legalism, no way. Amen. You see, don't forget this statement I'm about to make. Missions is a lot more than crossing the sea. Missions is seeing the cross. You can cross the sea and remain the same. But if you ever see the cross rightly, it will do something for you. Preacher, step up here just a moment. Let me just insert this. I don't know if you know it or not, but we've got a British young lady back here.
Yeah, she'd like to have a spot of tea.
That came up out of Brother Roger Tooley's ministry.
Amen.
Y'all probably support Brother Tooley. No. Out of our church. Okay, it was out of our church down there. She's married to the young missionary there with her. The missionary's wife's out of Brother Tooley's church over there in England. I just want to mention that to you. There's the fruit of missions right there. Amen. Going back to the mission field. Now, she's my fruit. When they go bring fruit, that'll be my grand fruit. You don't have any grandchildren in God's work, but you can have fruits and grand fruits and great grand fruits. I've had the privilege of living long enough. I have three generations that I know of that's serving God. Fruit, grand fruit, and great grand fruit. And I could document them. A man we sent down to Peru and Bolivia in that area, Peru. Then later went over to Venezuela. Led a young man to the Lord. That young man surrendered to preach later on. And started a church in another place, and a young lady got saved. Amen. Now then, her and her husband serving the Lord on a mission field in a third country. Amen. Three generations of fruit, grand fruit, and great grand fruit serving God. Woo! I'm about to have to shout already. Amen. One of the things I look forward to at the judgment seat of Christ, and I look forward to some things, there are some things I dread, but I look forward to seeing what all God has let our feeble efforts touch. I really do. I don't mean this wrong. I've had a lot more opportunities than a lot of people have. I preach almost every week of my life. I preach on all those radio stations. That don't mean I'm one bit better, one bit more favored of God than anybody in this building. God don't have any specials. I don't care who you are. God loves you as much as He loves anybody in the world. I'm getting beside myself, and I ain't myself. God can never love you any more than He loves you now. He never has and never will. There are no specials. God loves you like you were His only child. But I've had the privilege and the responsibility of sowing some seed for these 50 years. And I look forward to seeing the harvest of the good part. I've read the bad part, but I look forward to seeing the harvest of the good part. Let me preach tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 4. The Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I said last night, that is the Calvinism killer. Then verse number 5 is the Catholic killer. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I want to say verse number 6 is the Christ killer. And that doesn't sound right. But verse number 6, the Bible said, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for this hour from God's eternal word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again to Lord this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Lord, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Thank you again, Lord, for the wonderful privilege I've had to be born in America. Hear the gospel, be saved by the grace of God. Called to preach, put in the ministry, kept there, and given the joy and victory I have in knowing and serving you. Thank you, Lord, that I've had the wonderful privilege for these many years of living with a hope burning in my soul that the preacher preached about tonight. Lord, I stand here confident tonight that he who will come, shall come, will come, and will not tarry. You said, dear Lord, in your word, if I go and prepare a place, and you did go and you did prepare that place, and you will be back again. Thank you, Father, for that hope that we have tonight. But now, Father, please focus our attention on this message tonight. Lord, if you don't do what needs to be done, it will not be done. And I pray that you'll work and move and speak and do that, oh God, that you want to do. Somehow enable me as thy servant to get this burden off of my heart and into the heart of the people. For what you do, I love you and praise you and bless you for it. Because I pray it, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, and sing with a message for tonight from the Word of God. I'm going to preach tonight, and in just a little while, I'm going to do a demonstration that I hope and pray that God will do something in your life that you will never get over as long as you live. And I mean that. I'm not saying it for me. I forget I'm up here. Just let God speak tonight, and the Lord do a work in our life this evening. But I pointed out to you the proclamation, who will have all men to be saved. I pointed out to you the person, Christ, who will have all men to be saved. Then I pointed out to you the passion, who will have all men to be saved. And then I pointed out the people, who will have all men to be saved. Then I pointed out the position, who will have all men to be saved. And then I pointed out to you the price, who gave himself a ransom for all. And then I pointed out to you the plan, there's testifying, preaching, and teaching, and sending that gets the message of God out around the world. Now I'm going to focus tonight in the latter part of verse number 6. The Bible said, who gave himself a ransom for. I want to preach tonight on that three-letter word, for. And I'm preaching tonight on the picture of who gave himself a ransom for all. I did not check this immediately. I meant to before I left the house. But the majority of the time when you find this preposition for in your King James Bible, it's translated from a Greek word that is huper, H-U-P-E-R. And that word means in one's place, in place of, in one's stead, on one's behalf. I don't feel God. He gave himself in my stead, on my behalf, in my place. Hallelujah! I can say tonight with a songwriter, oh, praise the Lord! He did it all for me! In my place, in my stead, in my behalf. Well, thank God! He did it all for me. humanity, not just for me, but for the sins of the whole world. Watch me now just a moment. I want to do something. I've asked Brother Hall to sit in this stool tonight with a resemblance in your mind of the throne. Please don't laugh at my illustration. I've asked Brother Hall to represent God sitting on the throne tonight. I've asked Brother Gray to represent Jesus Christ sitting at His right hand. We do believe there is that God is manifested in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to understand something just a moment. Here they are, and this is going to be heaven. This area right here is going to be heaven tonight. Now I want you to hear me. I know what I'm saying. I've thought out what I'm saying. I want you to listen to me. Absolutely no sin can ever enter in here. Heaven is a holy city. God is holy. And the Bible said over in that Revelation, nothing defiled shall ever enter into that city. Sure, you know what that means? To go to heaven. Are you ready for it? I have got to be as righteous as God is. I must be as holy as God is. Nothing any less righteous or any less holy will ever get in. Now, Brother Hall, we're not planning to practice all this, but sin, if I were to try to get in as a sinner, you can't come in here. You would block it. I want to tell you something. I got to say that again. You're not catching it yet. Nothing less holy than God can enter in. Nothing less righteous than God can enter in. I've asked Brother Josh tonight to be our sinner. Would you come, Brother Josh? And I want to make an illustration. I want you to let God speak. So, hey, I'm not putting on a show. I want you to see a message illustrated. I believe you'll remember a long time. You notice Josh is covered with a dirty bunch of garments, a long garment that's dirty and a garment that's defiled. And I want to load him down with sin. But Josh, you have sinned, haven't you? Well, I want to tell you, I've been keeping records. I'm sorry, that was a sheet of paper. I got a couple of them over here. This represents one of your sins. And this, but I run out. It got bigger than a paper. It became a book. It took another book to cover your sins. And really, it took another book. And 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 it's loaded with sin. Josh, you want to go to heaven? Would you go over there and see if they'll let you in? Watch it as he approaches God. God won't let anybody in heaven with sin. Not one single sin. You say, well, I just told a little lie. It's a big lie in the sight of God. And God will say, no. You can't come in. Well, Josh, you want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? Why don't you cry out to him, let me in? Cry out again. Cry out again. Or just turn and walk away. Hopeless and helpless. He wants to go in, but he cannot get in. There's some reasons why he cannot get in. I want to do this. First of all, he cannot go in because of his sin. I want to emphasize again, Brother Hall, one sin. One sin. One sin. There is no such thing, baby. There's little sin, but one small. And he's got all these sins. And by the way, you and I could stack up a volume of books on our sins as well. So, first of all, if he's going to ever go to heaven, he's going to have to get rid of these sins. And he can try ever how hard he wants to, but he can never undo what's been done. Baptism will not wipe them away. Church membership will not wash them away. Doing good deeds will not wash them away. Hey, sin, when they're committed, and you cannot undo what you do in sin. Matter of fact, you know what God said about them sins? The wages of sin, one single sin, is death. So you know what? Because of that sin, this man's got to die. And I'm not talking about just physical death, Brother Hart. He's got to be cast into outer darkness, into hell, into the second death. Until he gets rid of those sins, there is no hope whatsoever of him coming in to the city of God. Now, I want to tell you something. God loves that sinner. Can I say this? It hurts the heart of God as much to say no as it does a sinner when God says no. I said it to the night. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God is too holy to look over these sins, even if he just had one sin. Something's got to be done with this man's sins. But I'm glad God is never caught off guard. Can I have another running fit? Before God ever created a man to sin, God knew that man would sin. And before there's ever a person, there's a plan. Hallelujah. What did every person to sin? There's a plan on God dealing with our sins. I could spend a lot of time here I don't need to take. This man cannot get rid of his sins himself. Preacher, you can be a friend to him, but you can't get rid of those sins. Brother Howard, you cannot pray them off of him. You cannot wash them away. You cannot undo them. They're there. Church, pray all you want to, but you cannot remove his sins. And neither can I. But God said, I love him. I want to make a way for him to come in. But before I make a way to come in, somebody's got to die. There's got to be a death for those sins. God the Son stands up, says to the Father, I tell you what I'll do, Father. I'll go take them sins off of him, put them on me. And he does that. He comes into the world and he takes his sins. You see, you can be seated just a minute, there, stand right in front of him. Sin control him, but it has no hold on him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin controls the sinner, but hallelujah! You see, sin has dominion over the sinner, but Christ has dominion over the sin. God has not only got dominion over sin, if sin killed this man, he would never live again. Woo! But this man, Christ, can take those sins and die and be buried, and 3 days later up from the grave he arose. Thank God, victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Yes, For the Bible said to his own self, bear our sins in his body on the tree. Now, Brother Joel could not inhale all those books of sin, but he's got them. Now, I'm just going to assume, Brother Gray, that they're taken into your body now, and I need to set them aside so we can go on. Let me set them right here, please. But remember, he don't have those sins now. Christ took them away. Watch this, so just a moment. What are we going to do with them? Somebody's got to die. Who's going to have to die? The one that's got to see him. And what we're going to do, step over just a little bit, preacher. We're going to take Christ and we're going to nail him to the cross and crucify him. And he's going to die for them sins of that man. And when he dies, the fact of the wages of sin is satisfied. He can go free. I said he can go free from the guilt. You see, the gospel is Christ died for our sins. That takes care of the penalty of sins. He was buried. That takes care of the putting away of our sin. That he rose again. That gives us power over sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. But now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How can a thrice holy God just allow this to happen? It didn't. Y'all remain standing. I hope you don't mind standing over that. Let me tell you what happens. First of all, if you're making notes, I want you to write down the word importation. Import. Anybody know what the word import means? It means to bring in. And what Christ did, he came not just to this man, but he came to the whole world. Brother Hall, I wish I could describe it better, but it is as though, did you hear me? It is as though on the cross Christ took one hand and reached all the way back to the first sin of the first Adam and collected every sin from Adam to Calvary. And I just say swallowed it. He took the other hand and reached from Calvary to the last sin of the last sinner and brought them into his body. I can hardly stand it. Y'all don't know what I'm thinking, but I know what I'm thinking. You see, I stand here tonight. My sins are not just sewed up in a bag. My sins are not just cast behind God's back. My transgressions are not just removed as far as the east is from west. That's Old Testament doctrine. But John the Beloved, somebody help me. John the Beloved looked up at Jordan and he said, behold the Lamb of God. He didn't say that shows up iniquity in the bag. He didn't say that casts sin behind his back. He didn't say that removes him. As far as he said, no. He said, behold the Lamb of God. That taketh away. Taketh away. Taketh. Hey, my sins are not covered. They're gone. You say, preacher, where are they? I don't know. And I'm glad I don't. Because my own flesh, if I knew where they're at, I'd visit them every once in a while. You saints, hang around. I'm dealing with us sinners now. Not only I'm glad I don't know where they're at, I'm glad you don't know where they're at. Don't know where they're at. So I don't know, and you don't know, and the devil don't know, and God forgot. You know what I want to say? Brother Harden, if the last man that had my sins forgot what he'd done with them, don't expect me to know where they're at. Amen. The last time I saw my sins, he had them in his body hanging on the tree. And when he went down, my sin went down with him. But oh, when he got up, my sin did not get up. our sins. I thought about this Old Testament illustration. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord, and by the way, that's four capital letters. That's Christ. That's Jehovah. The Lord laid upon him. It wasn't God the Father reached down and got sins and said, God's too holy to touch sin. But Christ reached over and took his sins, put them in himself. Now watch this importation. Not only the word importation, write down the word imputation. Christ takes my cross, my sins to the cross and dies to pay the death penalty for our sins. But wait a minute, can I say this? Stay with me now. Death is not enough. If all he did was die, he could take my sins away from him in that sense. But the record in heaven still shows me guilty of past sins. You know what God said I'll do? I'll send my son to die in his place. He'll die, shed his blood, and I'm going to take his blood and his righteousness, and I'm going to credit that to your account. I'm going to impute his innocence to cover your guilt. I'm telling you, as far as God is concerned tonight, because of the ministry of imputation, I am as holy as God is. I am as righteous as God is in the sight of God. If you were to sin before heaven tonight and start accusing Stinnett Blue before God and tell God about all those sins I committed, God would look at you and say, what sins are you talking about? My sins are gone, but my record is cleared because of imputation. But there's a third word. Not only there's a word importation, there's a word impute, which means settle account. And by the way, if I didn't make it clear, when God looks at my record in heaven, he don't see me. He sees the blood of his son. But now, wait a minute. We've got his sin removed. We've got his record clear. But you know what? He's still flesh. He still don't have it in him to please God even after he's saved. And you notice he still has the results of his sin, the dirty rags hanging on him. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The third word is the word impartation. God not only imports our sin, imputes our record, but he imparts his righteousness to us. You know what Christ does? He takes off that filthy garment of sin, which represents all the sins of the past. And now he stands in pure white. Watch this. The moment that God saves a sinner, it's not only him importing our sins and him imputing our sins, but it's him imparting his righteousness. You know what happens? God, through Christ Jesus, comes to this sinner that he just cleaned up, settled the record, and puts his righteousness in him. Just like he took his sins into him. You know what that imparted righteousness does? It makes him want to live like Christ. It makes him want to look like Christ. It makes him want to work like Christ. It makes him want to be identified with Christ. He remembers what he used to be. He remembers the load of sin. He remembers the defilement of sin's garments. And now he's clothed not in his own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ. And God imparts his righteousness and gives him the ability to live right. Now watch this. His sins have been imported. They're settled. His record's been imputed. It's settled. The righteousness has been imparted. Now, go see if God will let you in. I'm telling you, I am accepted in the beloved. I stand not in my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Him. And now then, since that my sin's been imputed to Him, His righteousness imputed to my account, and His blood imputed to my account, His righteousness imparted to me. I can walk right into the presence of God boldly.
Amen.
What's this? Standing over here with his sins. God said no. Brother Hall, the study of that tabernacle, that veil, remind me of going down to the hospital and you see them double wide doors says no admittance.
Right.
Keep out. Authorized personnel only. And that's the way that whole nation of Israel was. That veil, Brother Sutton, said no admittance. Only the high priest can come back here once a year. But thank God when Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. And that veil, it used to say, keep out, no admittance. Now opens where's a door of mercy. And God said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because of the imputed and imparted righteousness of Christ, I have access to the throne of God. But I didn't finish what I started a minute ago. That barrier said, keep out. And there's that awful agony of separation, guilt, that separates the sinner from God. But oh, when Christ went to the cross, as the blood, can I say it this way? It's comfort, but you understand it. Brother Shepherd, as the blood oozed out of Christ's side, God's anger toward sinners oozed out. That same God who looked at sinners and said, before Christ died, you can't come in here. Now looks through the eyes of mercy and the blood of His Son and said, whosoever will let him come. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where it's in America, Australia, Africa, or where it's in Georgia or Germany, no matter where it is. I've had any sinner anywhere can come to the throne of God and obtain mercy and be saved. And when they do, the Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is two-way. The sinner now has peace toward God. And because of the blood of the Son, God has peace toward the sinner.
Right.
If you don't understand the word peace in the Hebrew, it means no friction. No friction. The Son of Man said nothing between my soul and my Savior. But one little thought more and I'll close with this. There's the word impartation. There's the word importation, imputation, impartation. But I must say this. Even after we're saved, after we're robed in His righteousness, we still live in a sinful body. Amen. But I'm glad, can I say it? He died. Christ died. But he wouldn't stay dead.
Amen.
For 40 days he walked among men and he rose again. And then he ascended and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Step aside. Just sit down over there somewhere. Sit down, Brother Joel. Sits there at the right hand of God the Father. We didn't plan this, but you can act it out. You know you've sinned since you've been saved. You've done things you shouldn't do. You know it's displeasing to God. He's not satisfied. You don't have the joy and peace. You know what you can do, don't you? You can come to Christ and ask forgiveness. And Christ turns to the Father and makes intercession. This is one of our children. He's sinned.
Father, I paid for his sin.
Father, I paid for his sins. Please, I'm going to have to run. Please, forgive him. Forgive him.
day after day, week after week, month after month, and God's never said anything, never will say, I've forgiven you all I'm going to. That's not a license for sin, but it's liberation from them. Why? Because he gave himself for everything that Christ done. He did none of it for himself. I'm talking about in his death and all the sacrifice. None of that. I believe, y'all help me out just a minute now. I believe I'm right. I believe I'm right. I believe I read somewhere where the Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we like sheep are going astray. We turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord laid upon him. Brother Harden, where we grew up, where I grew up, you hear some of them fellows talk about when Christ died, he died and he paid for all the past sins. If you sin after you got saved, they said you got to pay for them. My question is, number one, what have you got to pay for sin with? My statement number two, when Christ died on the cross, all my sins are future. Yours was too. Amen. I'm telling you, because of what he did for us, we can come as a dirty, defiled, depraved sinner. And Christ died in our place. And Christ will take all that wicked robe of the filth of sin and put on you a robe of righteousness. When I walk into the presence of God now, I walk in not with my own righteousness, but with the righteousness of Christ. I read this story years ago. In a sheep raising country, they were having a problem. There was a plague of a sort that got in the herds, and it was in calving season, and many of the ewe lambs had their babies, and the mama would die, and the babies were starving to death. They tried to put a strange baby over with a strange mama, and she'd kick it away, butt it away. They said, what can we do? They're dying. Somebody come up with the idea that mama knows the skin of her own lamb. They took those dead lambs and slid them right down the middle of the belly, pulled the skin off of them, and wrapped it around that live lamb. Brought that live lamb up to that live mama. And she smelled something or sensed something about the feeling of that skin. Now, I don't mean it to be disrespectful, but boy, she backed the leg up and let him eat. I'm telling you, if God sees and smells our old Adamic nature, he'll butt us away. But if God can look down and sense the righteousness of God in us, then it's not our righteousness, but it's his righteousness that gains us and knit us to the throne of God. And God said, come on in and eat. One more thing, and I'm going to close. Here's the good part of it. For in that he died once. That word once means an act that is totally completed and never to be repeated again. It's a wonderful word to study in the book of Hebrews, that word once. But this man made one offering for sin forever. You know why I can't lose my salvation? Christ has already died for all my sins. I'll give you one more story and I close. I know stories is not scripture, but sometimes they help us understand principle. Jesus used some parables, so don't fuss at me too much. But I read in the days of the Wild West, there was a wagon master who was leading a wagon train. And on that kind of light, breezy day, that wise scout out front was sniffing the air. And he smelled the smell of smoke burning sage grass. He sensed it out, went back to the captain of the wagon, told him there's fire in front of us. And the wind's blowing our way. We're headed to the fire. What are we going to do? That wise wagon master stopped him, pulled him up side by side, went right behind the wagons, and ignited a second fire. And the wind blew it away from the wagon where they'd already traveled. When those stubs cooled, that wagon master just circled the wagons back in where the grass was already burned. First fire came up to the edge where they started the second fire and died because it had nothing else to fuel the fire and burn. When God saved me, He put me in the body that had already died. And it's only pointed unto man once. And when death comes up to Christ, it has to stop. There is no more death in Him. And I am in Him. And therefore death has no more power. And I say this tonight, and I am through. The songwriter said, oh, praise the Lord. He did it all for me. I want to make two emphases of that statement. First of all, I want to emphasize the word all. He did do it all. If you don't understand that, if I could speak some plain old Kentucky language, they ain't no more to be done. He did it all. But second, He did it all for me. When He was on the cross, not only was I on His mind, but I was on the cross with Him. And I died in Him, and death had no more dominion. I'm alive forever, not because of my righteousness, but because He died, was buried, rose again, and I am in Him. And for all eternity, I'll have the wonderful privilege of living in that sinless, spotless, holy city because of the substitutional ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracle of substitution. That's really my main title I was going to use, and I never did tell you, but for me, the miracle of substitution. Nobody can charge me with any sins they done been paid for. Death has no claim on me. It has no sting. And I'm not going to hell. Brother Hart, you know why I know I'm not going to hell? You can't get to hell from where I am. You can't get to hell from where I am. There's no way there. Christ closed up all the gates of hell. And He said, I got the key. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Of course, I don't want to, and I never will want to, and you won't either if you're saved. Now, I made a statement over 40 years ago. I'd preached, Brother Sutton, you remember back in the days of Camp Zion when we were young preachers, and the big preachers preached in the big service, and after the service, so we got a hamburger, went in that old church building, that little building up there, and the little preachers would preach. And I went over there, and another preacher, they didn't know me. Another preacher wanted me to go. He said, I'll go preach if you'll go preach. He said, I'll go preach. I said, no, they don't want me. And my family said, I'll go with you. So we went over there, and he preached on the cross. And then he just said, now, I got a friend here with me. Y'all ain't heard, but y'all need to hear Brother Stinnett Blue preach. And I was just a kid preacher then, 25 years old, 26 years old. He preached on the cross, and I got him, didn't even open my Bible. I quoted 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God hath made Him to be no sin for, to be sin for us. Let me back up and say it again. For God had made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I'm not boasting, Brother Hall. I don't need another pat on the back. I've had too many applause. I made a statement that's been over 40 years ago. I hope before I die, God lets me understand substitution. Now, I haven't covered it, but I've scratched the surface of it tonight. The miracle. God's not a grandpa sitting up in heaven turning his back and letting you get by. And God's not a Santa Claus that's just saying, come on in, whatever you're doing. God's holy. God's righteous. And nothing short of His holiness and His righteousness can ever enter in. Man cannot produce that. If you're listening tonight by internet or by the radio, or you're watching around the globe, not one person on planet Earth could ever live and would ever live holy enough to get into heaven outside the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm glad He did it all for me. And not for me only, but for the sins of the whole world. Let's stand together. Thank you, fellas. Come on, musicians, if you will, please. Thank you, Josh. You've done a good job. And Brother Joel, for the whole. Thank you. Thank you. We're not trying to put on a show. God forbid. I hate attention drawn to self. I really do. But I felt like God put it in my heart. If we could see this, we might understand it a little better. Now, I want to make this statement to you in this building and you listen to the radio. Can I say it one more time? Nobody will get into the presence of God with one sin
right
unsettled in their life. Nobody can get in the presence of God with anything short of the righteousness and holiness of God.
Right.
So if you're counting on anything you might do, you'll go to hell. But if you come and receive the free gift of God's grace, God will save you. There by the radio, if you'll bow to that radio, call on the Lord. God will save you. God will save you. Wherever you're listening, wherever you're looking tonight, God will save you. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to the cross and Christ I cling. We're going down the road one day, some of us preachers traveling together. We was headed to Myrtle. About four vehicles of us headed to Myrtle. We stopped, got out and stretched a little bit, maybe got some cold cold. One fellow walked up to me and he said, are you sure you're going to heaven? I use the word if, not as a question mark, but you know, sometimes since. I said, since there's a God in heaven, if there's a God in heaven, if He's got a Son named Jesus Christ, if He died on the cross and shed His blood, if He was buried, if He rose again, if He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and if He saves sinners, I'll be there.
Amen.
And I don't have one little question mark that He did all of them.
Yeah. Amen.
And He did it for